Christmas Story is more than a story. It's a journey of faith. I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, this is Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. Well, today I want to talk about the Christmas story and take a quick break from our regular series on interpreting the Bible literally. We'll get back to that the next time. But for today, I want to talk about the Christmas story. Now, in the 8th chapter of John, we learn of another run-in that Jesus had with the Pharisees. And after telling them that they were essentially children of the devil, the Pharisees respond with these words found in John 8:41, and they say, "We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God." Ugh. Can you just feel the contempt? Well, the Pharisees accused Jesus of being the result of fornication. That is, they essentially charged that his mother became pregnant before she and Joseph were married. So even though Jesus was born after they married, he was allegedly conceived out of wedlock, creating a situation in which Joseph and Mary had to marry. Well, the charge, of course, is not true, and the Gospels make this very clear. How Mary was told that she would conceive and give birth in spite of the fact that she had been with no man. When Mary became pregnant, the Christmas story actually began then. Christmas is a story that is built on the reality and the fulfillment of prophecy. Yet the Pharisees attempted to turn it into something very sinful. You know, this is often the way it is when unbelievers think of or discuss the God of the Bible. To these people, faith is nothing more than believing in fairy tales, antiquated, out-of-date religious stories that have no real basis in truth. They're cute for a moral, but that's about it. Well, to the Christian, faith is believing in what is often not seen. This makes it no less real or viable just because we can't see it. Now, obviously, Mary, Joseph, and later Jesus had been the brunt of jokes and discussion among people, including the religious leaders. They had judged Jesus and his earthly parents. Yet what God had accomplished with the virgin birth of Jesus was not only not sinful, but was every bit a miracle and every bit fulfillment of prophecy. Mary and Joseph were called out of obscurity to a life of faith. Had they never been used by God in this way, it's likely that they would not be household names today. You know, but God called them, and they may have felt as though they didn't have it in them, though the scriptures never indicate that they doubted God's word. Joseph and Mary were called, and they followed God's call. Often, we find that God's calling interrupts our plans. We go through life with ideas of what we want to do and what we want to see, who we want to marry, what we want to be, where we want to go to college, and more. But at least in some of those cases, God interrupts our plans to redirect us. What should we do when that happens? Follow Him. When God calls us, that very calling often challenges our faith. And we may feel that we don't even have the faith, or we may feel that our faith is so tiny. We are asked to believe things that to us may seem improbable or even impossible. But if God has said it, we can be assured that He will bring it about in and through us. What should we do when our faith is challenged? Follow Him. And when God calls us from our comfort zone, we often need to rely on faith, and when we do so, our faith grows. In essence, then, responding to God requires faith to begin with. Even a little bit of faith will help us grab and hold on to His promises and His word. As we continue to stay with God, keeping up with Him, our faith in Him and His ability in and through us will grow. It's funny, but this past April 2011, my wife and I were out of town on business, and we had a few hours to ourselves, so we decided to take a hike in the woods. Well, as we hiked, the thought came to me, and I voiced it. I said to my wife, "Hun, I think God is going to move us out of California this year." Well, it was a weird feeling because we had no idea at that time where or really if God would move us or how He would do it. Well, suffice it to say that one thing after another fell into place. And 5 months later, we found ourselves driving across country to Georgia, nearly 2,500 to 3,000 miles away. I can say, looking back without equivocation, that my faith was stretched. But I can also say that it is stronger today because of it. Now, what should we do when God requires faith from us? Follow Him. One of the most important things God's call on our life does is bring Him glory. This is our job. And hopefully this is what we want to do on a daily basis. We should want to bring Him glory in all that we do, think, and say. And acting on His call by responding when He begins to move us out is what brings Him glory. God is pleased with us when we don't doubt, when we don't crumble into a heap of frustration and self-deprecation. Do you remember Numbers? I mean, when the children of Israel were expected to take the promised land, what did they do? God was calling them to move out. They said, not a chance. 10 of the 12 spies said, no way. And the people sided with the 10 spies. Only Joshua and Caleb said, we can do this. We can do this. God will be with us. And the moral of that story is they rejected and rebelled against God and His plan, and He made them walk in the desert for 40 years until everyone 20 years and older from that generation was dead. And then they tried it again, and this time they went in. God is pleased with us when we don't doubt. He understands when we do doubt. He does not appreciate it when we willingly rebel. Note that in order for God to direct us, we've got to actually be moving, don't we? When my wife and I realized that God was going to move us out of California, it wasn't really a waiting game. Yeah, we were waiting for the exact time that we would leave, but we began to do the research, still unsure of where we were going. Through one set of circumstances after another, His plan was revealed to us. And today we have absolutely no doubt of any of it. Like an automobile, as we move out, He was able to steer us in the direction He wanted us to go in. What should we do when we're concerned about whether or not our actions will bring Him glory? Follow Him, right? Follow Him. The other interesting point about God's calling on our lives is that it will touch people's lives for eternity. God so wants to work in and through us to bring the lost to Him. He wants us to touch lives for Him. What should we do when God calls us? Follow Him. You know, we see the multitude of records in Scripture about one person after another coming to Joseph, Mary, and eventually Jesus to give glory to God because of what they saw God doing. We see how the shepherds saw the star that eventually brought them to Jesus. Because they followed the star, they were able to give God glory, as we're told in Luke 2:8-10, which tells us this, quote, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, unquote. So here they were out in the fields, minding their own business, and all of a sudden an angel of the Lord appears, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. That glory of the Lord, by the way, is most likely the Shekinah glory of the Old Testament. Same thing. But here we have an angel spreading the good news, the gospel, which would become embodied in our Lord, our God, and our Savior Jesus. The shepherds also went and shared the good news. Then we have Simeon and Anna, who beheld the Lord in His infancy and rejoiced in God's salvation 8 days after He was born. Then the wise men came to Jesus, and they worshipped Him. We should also worship God, thanking Him for all the things in our life, because these things are the very things that God has allowed us or brought into our lives in order so that He can glorify Himself in and through us. We should worship Him humbly. We should worship Him joyfully. We should worship Him sacrificially. We should worship Him with sensitivity. Do you know that God is always calling us? He first calls us to follow Him to gain salvation. He then continues to call throughout the remainder of our lives, calling us to do the things that will interrupt our plans, challenge our faith, strengthen our faith, bring Him glory, touch lives for eternity. What should we do when God calls us? We should never hesitate to follow Him. Folks, that's what the Christmas season is all about. That's what the story of Christmas is all about. It's not about some quaint little baby in a manger someplace where people gather around and sing songs. It's about a baby in a manger who was the incarnation of God Himself, born in the flesh. And when I say flesh, I'm not talking about sin nature. I'm saying He was actually born a human being. He lived among us. He dwelt among us. He lived a life that was completely sinless, never once giving in to the temptation, any temptation to sin, never. Paul tells us in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that he first says that the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That's verse 8. And that word of faith that Paul and his companions were proclaiming means that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Do you understand what Paul's saying here? It's not simply the sinner's prayer. There has to be an awareness, a belief, a knowledge. There has to be something we have to put our faith in. And once we have that something in front of us, and that something is Jesus Christ, knowing what He did for us, the life He lived for us, the death He died for us, and the resurrection with which He rose again. When we understand and begin to believe that those things actually happened, that's the beginning of salvation. And then we totally embrace it. And once we embrace it, we become justified because we are exercising our faith in something that we can't see, we can't touch, we can't smell, we can't hear. By faith, we believe it. And then we confess, Jesus is Lord. We confess like Thomas did, my Lord and my God. That's salvation. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit enters our life, makes us new, and begins the process of converting our personality into the personality of Jesus, which will take the rest of our lives. Folks, if you don't know Jesus, you need to. He's calling you. You need to follow Him. I pray for you. I pray that you will just commit yourself to Him, submit to Him, and follow Him. We'll be back next time with more of Interpreting the Bible, and I hope you enjoy this Christmas season. May the Lord God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, this is Dr. Fred with Study Grow Know Ministries. Here at Study Grow Know Ministries, we endeavor to present biblically based teaching from a conservative perspective that meets the needs of the average layperson. If you're enjoying our broadcasts and gaining something from them, we would ask that you would consider donating any amount to us. Your donations not only help keep our broadcasts on the air, but allow us to expand our ministry as well. Study Grow Know Ministries is a 501(c) nonprofit ministry, so your monetary gifts are tax deductible. Currently, our broadcasts reach into the Philippines through NPR 105.3 FM, as well as various areas on the East Coast through WINB Christian Shortwave Radio. Other venues have allowed us to increase the area of our radio ministry throughout the United States and into Canada. The Lord has graciously allowed us to extend our ministry into these areas, and we're grateful. We believe the Lord would also eventually extend our ministry through television as well as other radio venues. If you would like to be part of that, please prayerfully consider giving to Study Grow Know Ministries. You can do that by sending us a check or money order made out to Study Grow Know Ministries. Send it to P.O. Box 1592. That's P.O. Box 1592. The city is Hampton, H-A-M as in Mary, P as in Paul, T as in Tom, O-N as in Nancy. That's Hampton, Georgia, 30228. 30228. You can also use a credit card and donate through our website at studygrowknow.com. That's studygrowknow.com. We use the secure server through Cornerstone Payment Systems. Will you consider giving to offset the cost of our radio broadcasts and to help us expand into other areas as the Lord leads as well? We thank you and may God bless you.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.